All right, what's up, everybody? Good morning to you. Glad you're here. Look at the person next to you and say, hey, man, I think you've lost a little bit of weight. Come on, let them know. Look great. Come on. Man, so glad you're here. And second week of our series that we're calling Torch. It's as part of our Carrying the Vision and talking on that. Also want to thank all those who are watching online with us today. We know some of you may be watching at different parts of the week. We're thankful for you guys as well. And come on, Elevate. Let's just welcome all of our online family. Put your hands together. Amen. Yeah. And so, man, real thankful. Coming off a great Sunday last week, and if you were here, just, just God moved in a powerful way as we begin this series, but it's also rally day for our small groups. Had just, just incredible sign-ups and already having some real good problems happening this week as we've got some of our groups that have way too many people. And so, but those are good problems to have, and we're thankful just for what God's doing. And if you missed last week, I want to encourage you, make sure you go watch the message. We had some things just, again, pertaining to vision that we shared, some pretty cool news that happened. I'll allude to a little bit more of that in my message, but then also our small groups. Get signed up if you're not in a group. Again, as you heard on the church news, man, don't do life alone, and we are seeing some of the greatest life change happening in relationship in small groups, and so I want to encourage you. You can do that on the app. You can just show up if you want, but I want to encourage you to be a part of that. So, again, real excited for this. I want to get right into the message today in Proverbs chapter 29. So if you have your message notes or if you want to grab those, they're in your worship guide. You can follow along in that way, or you can follow on the screens behind me. But everybody shout vision.
Vision.
Shout it one more time. Vision. There you go. And so coming into this year, I just really felt that God put a couple things on my heart. And one was the series that we just did in January called Pneuma, on the power of the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit in our life. And then also taking some time in this month and then the first part of March talking on just vision. Because here's what I know. If you've been around here for any length of time, it's always good, I think, to be reminded and to know where we're going as a church. And then if you're newer to the church and you've just kind of jumping in with us, it's important for you as well that we know really the why behind the what. Here's what we do, but here's why we do it. And so again, last week we took some time to really dive into that, look at some of the promises of God and some of those things that are pertaining to us as a church and our vision. And then also today we're going to be looking a little bit more of that. But it says this in Proverbs 29, it says, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. How many have ever woken up late at night and it's dark and you've kind of stumbled because you can't see? I mean, know what I'm talking about. Stub that toe. That's my favorite thing to do during the night. Yeah. Glory to God. And so that's why vision is important, so we don't stumble all over ourselves. And then it goes on to say, but when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. And so another version talks about without vision in the King James, it says people perish. And so if we don't have vision, if we don't have vision for our church, if we don't have vision for our life, we just go on this wandering path. And I think we just continue to be in a place of just consuming and never really making a difference to contribute. And so God has more for us than that. And so last week, I want to do just a quick review of what we talked about, because we looked at some of the promises that God has for us. And there's really, God has always had it in his heart to take you and I on a spiritual journey. And we see this in Exodus 6, really all throughout the Bible, the rest of the Bible. And there's four things that he really begins with. And this is our vision. This is what God has placed in our hearts. It's in his heart, so it's for us. And it says this, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord. And here's the first promise. It says, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And then here's the second promise, is that I will free you from being slaves to them. So the first thing that God had in his heart more than anything else was first to come into a relationship with us, to have a personal relationship in our life with him, and then to be able to come to a place that we can have freedom in our life. Well, the Israelites, here they are in a place that they were delivered out of the Egyptian bondage that they were in. Life was not good. They were under that regime and that control. But God came in, stepped in on the scene, and saved them from that. But then God noticed something, that he noticed not only do they need salvation, and again, that's the most important thing that you and I will ever need is our salvation and our relationship with God. But it's not the will of God just for us to stay put, but there's more to the life. There's more to our spiritual walk. And so God saw some things within the hearts of the Israelites, and he noticed that even though he brought them out of Egypt, that there's still some Egypt in them. And so he noticed that there's still some wrong thinking, there's some wrong motives, there's some things that I need to bring some healing and some freedom to, and he wants that for you and I as well. And it goes on to say, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. All right, that's the third. And then here's the fourth promise, is that I will take you as my own people. I will be your God. Then you know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And so the Jewish people call this the four I wills of God, the four promises that they still celebrate this today in their Passover. But it means everything for you and I. Scott, even though it was a promise that was made 3,000 years ago, it's something that is still relevant for us today that God is doing in our life. And so in our notes, this is what it looks like. So that first promise, God said, I'll bring you out. He wants a relationship with you. And so he wants us to know God. He wants us to know him. And then the second promise, again, is he said, I will free you. And so that's where we say, find freedom. And you'll find this in our hallways right there, right here in our church. And then the signs out there on the walls. And then he said, the third promise is, I will redeem you, which represents for us discovering your purpose. And then I will take you as my own people. That fourth promise is ultimately to go make a difference with your life. Everybody shout, know God. Know God. Everybody shout, find freedom. Everybody shout, discover purpose. And everybody say, make a difference. And so again, God has had it in his heart to do that, to take us on this journey. But the problem for many Christians today is that we just get stuck between this place of just knowing God, all right, and this place that we've got issues in our life. And I always think, again, it's healthy to remind you and I that we all got issues. Yeah, we all got things we're working through. If you don't think you have an issue, that's your issue. Amen, everybody? All right, so we've just got things that we all need help on. We all need that, which is why I love our small groups. It's a place that, man, we can get honest with God. But again, part of the heart of God is to bring healing to your life. In James 5:16, he reminds us of that, that we are to confess our trespasses to one another, pray for one another so that we may be healed. I want to read this scripture out of Daniel 6, and really this is going to kind of set us up for the message today. And Daniel was, man, he was a pretty bad dude in a good way. Like, a bro had it going on and went through some challenges and difficulties. If you've never read on his life, you should, and it's excellent. But it says this, now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. Another version says that he had a spirit of excellence. And it says that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. So Daniel was, in other words, he was in a place in his life that he made a decision that I'm going to embrace some values and some principles that may not be popular, and it's definitely in his time, it wasn't what everybody else was doing, but he made a decision in his life that I'm going to stand out and I'm going to do what it is that God has called me to do. I'm not just going to sit by and go with the crowd and do what everybody else is doing. But no, the Bible was very clear that he embraced some principles, he embraced some values that not everybody else embraced. But because of that, God promoted him. Because of that, God brought great favor, and Daniel had incredible influence in his day. And the same thing is true for us as the local church, his church, that we have biblical principles that he has given us to help guide us as a church, but also biblical principles for our lives as well. And so it's unfortunate to me that this message, honestly, can be a little bit controversial because of, unfortunately, where the American church is kind of trending right now. And that is that we are a church that embraces momentum. Everybody shout momentum. So in other words, the church was never created to be a social club. The church was never created to have just this inward focus. And I think what's happened is in the American church, there's been a shift that's happened where it's become more about us and less about reaching people outside of these walls. And we believe, though, as a church here at Elevate City, that the church was a movement. Everybody shout a movement. That started in the beginning. In other words, when Jesus said what he said he would do, when he went to that cross, died for us, and 3 days later he rose from the grave, it sparked a movement. And I like to see the ministry of Jesus as a movement, because when you look in the Gospels, Jesus was always on the move. He was always moving from person and to place, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ, bringing his gospel to people as well. But it sparked a movement of individuals that carried a simple message that your life can be changed by the person of Jesus Christ. Is there anybody in the room today that your life has been changed by the person of Jesus Christ? Come on, is there anybody today? Come on, I mean, your life has been altered and changed by the person of Jesus Christ. Can you shout amen? Amen. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my encounter with God. and for how he's continuing to help me and change me because we are making the decision to go all in with him. And so this is not, and nor will it ever be, a religious institution. It's not a social club. This is a movement. His church is called to be a movement, again, with a simple message, but a big focus. And that's to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. It's interesting to me, just a couple months ago, I read this statistic that nearly 60% of churches in our nation today don't have a clue what the Great Commission is. And that ought to scare you and bother you like it did me. Because in other words, what else are we doing church for if we're not focused on reaching people that don't know God? Everybody, that's the problem. But I'm thankful that we're on the other side of that statistic, that we're a church that understands the Great Commission, that our greatest mission in life is to make a difference in the life of other people. Can you say a good amen today? All right, and so that's part of that momentum that God wants to do. Man, when your life has been changed and altered by the power of God, I don't know about you, but man, it's not just something you can just keep and hold on to, that you want to share with other people. And it should be in such a way that whenever you're at the workplace or wherever you're at, that people ought to take notice of the change and why you are different. And be able to ask you, man, what's going on? Why are you always so happy? Like, what's up with you? I don't see you engaging in some of those jokes and that sort of thing. And it's not that you're better than. No, you've had an encounter with God. You're an ambassador of Christ. And we're not called to look like everybody else, but we're called to stand apart and to embrace some values that maybe the rest of the world isn't embracing, and to be like Jesus. And the question will come, I believe, at some point, that, man, what's up? Can you tell me? And you can look back at him and say, man, let me tell you why my God is so cool. Let me tell you what's up, what's happened in my life. I want to give you this definition of momentum because I think it's awesome. I think it's powerful. Put it up there, guys. It means the strength or force that something has when it is moving. The strength or force, I like this next part, that allows something to continue or to grow stronger or faster as time passes. Everybody say momentum. Oh, you want momentum. You want to have a life of momentum. And maybe even some of us here today, you found yourself stuck. Maybe you're not necessarily moving forward or you're not moving backward, but you're just kind of find your place in stagnation. God desires to bring momentum into your life for you to be able to move forward and to accomplish all that he has for you to do. I was thinking about momentum this week. I was thinking in the natural sense, because you can have kind of natural momentum. And I remember when we started our church softball team, and we have some men softball teams that play. And I remember when we first started, Pastor Mike helps to lead that. But I'll never forget, we had that first game at Crager Park on the southeast side of Fort Wayne. And I was so excited, hadn't played in such a long time, grew up playing baseball. And so just to get back on the field just kind of felt good, you know what I mean? And so got out there. And never forget, man, it was an intense game, and I got up to bat. And of course, I was hoping. I was practicing. I'd at least make contact. Lord have mercy, it's slow pitch. Help me, somebody, right? And so made contact, hit it out in left field. And so all of a sudden, everybody say momentum. I'm running. And I mean, I'm running because I want that hit, man. I ain't trying to get thrown out, you know, at first base. And so I'm running, making sure I can clear the base. But how many know sometimes momentum can carry you a little further and a little quicker than what you thought? And so, yeah, so there I was. I mean, I'm running. And all of a sudden, my body got ahead of my feet. How many know what I'm talking about? Lord have mercy. And it was embarrassing. You know, we have the stands full of our church people, and the ladies there cheering on their husbands. And, you know, the guys are all in the field. And, man, I'm telling you what, got ahead of me, and I face first planted in the dirt. But I stretched out. Come on. Got first base. Yes. Safe was the call. But what had happened was, in the midst of the process, I lost my shorts. Thank God I had another pair on under. Momentum did that to me. And everybody got a good laugh out of that. I've never been more red in my life. Apologize to every woman that was in the stands. My God, help me, Jesus, you know? Like, forgive me. And so momentum can do that. But then I think about, come on, the spiritual momentum of things. And I think about in our first year as a church, I'll never forget, when we we started at Northwood Middle School, for those that don't know, and we were there for 3 months when the fire marshal came in and said, y'all got to go. This school ain't up to fire code, and y'all can't be here. That's great news. Thank you so much. You know, and so so we took that great, incredible news and, you know, freaked me out. And so we found a location, and I'll never forget, you know, we became a statistical miracle for our church planning network because there's never been a church that had to close down like that and then survive. And so, but God opened up another door. And so we went to another location after that. And I'll never forget the one-year party. Oh, man, we were definitely going to party because we celebrated not only 1 year, but we made it. Like, we made it through. 95% of all church plants fail in their first year. Yeah, it's hard. It's very hard. And so we knew, man, with 60 people, come on, somebody, that we made it. And I'll never forget, we were at the Shiloh over there off Carroll, and we had a big old party. We had it catered, and it was a big deal, and, man, her testimonies and everything. And then after that Sunday, we just made a decision that, man, God didn't just call us to survive. And I remember some of the struggles that we had in that time, and again, finding a facility. And I remember the Holy Spirit spoke something to me very clearly. And he said, God, I didn't send you guys here to fail. This thing's going to succeed because I'm in it. And so we just made a decision as a team. We're going to embrace momentum. We're going to embrace some values and some things that God's going to help us with to build our church. And I believe that what we're seeing in our church today, and we celebrate 7 years next month. It's incredible to me. I can't believe that. But I believe it's a result of God and his power and his faithfulness, but him helping to produce just life-giving vision and momentum in our life. And I just believe we must stay focused in understanding momentum, but also where it comes from. And if not, I know this, that we won't be able to accomplish all that God has for us. So we must stay focused on moving forward. We must stay focused on reaching people. We must stay focused on loving and serving and continue to find the ones that nobody else is reaching and reach out to them. We must continue to grow spiritually. And, you know, when we talk about growth and we talk about our church growing and things like that and adding services, it, you know, I remember when we were about 150 people or so and we're starting to see more growth all of a sudden, it made some people uncomfortable because there's some that just, they like church this way and this many people and that way. But can I just tell you, anything that is healthy is meant to grow. And God demands for his church to grow. And so we should be adding people. We should be growing. We should be seeing lives transformed by the power of God. Those things should be happening. The Bible says a tree is known by its fruit. You can't be a good tree and bear bad fruit. And you can't be a bad tree and bear good fruit. All right, we're called to be a good tree that bears good fruit at all times. And so, and then, you know, the conversation of, man, a second location kind of, you know, kind of rattles people. Ooh, man, I don't know. But you know what? We've got people that we've got to continue to reach. And so whatever it takes to do that, man, we're going to stay on mission and on point, which is also why I love our small groups and our structure and the momentum that's happening with that, because we have a saying, when as our church grows larger, that we grow smaller at the same time, that more and more small groups are started. That means more and more leaders are starting those ministries in those groups so we can continue to reach people. Again, why? Because we are seeing life change happen through the context of relationship, through people making the decision, I'm not going to do life alone, we're going to do it together. I've never seen anybody do life alone that's been real successful in their life. Anything that's ever done for the kingdom of great impact has always been together. It's always been with each other. I think about some of the, you know, I've said this before, some of the stupid horror movies that's out there, they always center it on younger crowd. I don't know why that is. You know, you got the college age crowd and you got the house where the killer is there. And, you know, there's like, starts off with like seven of them. Come on, how many know? Don't be too spiritual. How many know what I'm talking about? Don't act like you never watched a scary movie before, all right? And you got like seven of them. And all the, you know, they're huddled around and, you know, the killer's loose and all that. And, you know, Johnny and Susie get real interested on the sounds going upstairs. Well, you never go upstairs, Johnny. Susie, you just don't go upstairs. And what happens? Well, they go upstairs and they die. You know what I mean? Why? Because they left the group. Stay in the group. Stay in the group. Life is safer in the group. Oh, see, y'all got it. All right. So that's why groups are important. Don't do life alone. All right. Amen. I don't know where that came from today, but amen. All right. I didn't give that to first service. All right. Y'all got that one for free. All right. And so small groups are great. And growing larger and smaller at the same time, listen to me, if we ever get to the place where we feel like we've reached enough people, listen to me very clearly, then we communicate to the rest of Fort Wayne that it's okay that you go to hell. And that is not okay. And we will never get to that place as a church. Because so long as there are people in this city that are headed to a Christless eternity, we have a job to do. And we've got to continue to reach people and be about the gospel of Jesus Christ and go into our city and to affect our neighborhoods and our community for the glory of God. We must protect momentum. We must continue to do that because it's what moves us forward. It's why numbers are important. It's why we look at numbers. They're very, very important. We're all about the numbers. So, man, Pastor, what do you mean? Because every number is a person. Every person has a story, and every story is important to God. God thought numbers were so important, he has a book called Numbers. Right. Numbers are so important to God that he knows the number of hairs on your head. Think about that. Think about that. Think about, you know, I thought about the Luke chapter 15. It's a whole chapter dedicated to lost things and lost people. One of my favorite parables that Jesus talked about is the parable of the 99, where one strayed away. 99 were found. They were good. It'd probably be easy to stay with the 99, but he saw the one who strayed and saw that sheep worth chasing after. Because you know what? At one point, you and I were the one. You and I were the one. And maybe you don't know God today. I'm telling you, he's always been pursuing after you. I don't know where you're at in the journey. For somebody even here today, you may be in a place that maybe you haven't pursued God in a while. I just want you to know he loves you more than anything. He's not mad at you. He's in love with you. And he's glad you're here and he's got a plan for your life. You know, I think about numbers. Numbers are important. I don't have between one and three kids. I have three. If I'm at Disneyland and Bethany and I are ready to go and take the kids home and I look around and I see Ashton and Judah, but Braxton isn't around, I don't say, well, babe, two out of three is not bad. Let's go home. Somebody say numbers are important. Numbers are real important. And so momentum carries us to do what God has called us to do. I want to give you a couple just quick principles today that produce momentum. The Israelites, again, were in a place, they're on their way to the promised land. And they're in a place that as they're pursuing the promise, they have this great idea on the way to the promise that, hey, I think we ought to stop and have some church. Like, can we make this happen? Like, I know we're headed towards the promise that God has for us, but, man, what about this portable church? And you just thought maybe that was a church planter thing here in America, but no, it started way back in Numbers, the portable setup. Tear down church. Come on, somebody, all right? Well, I remember when we were portable, set up, tear down at the school, we would get up about 5 a.m., and we'd go load the trailer at about 6 a.m., and then we'd be at the school by 7 a.m. to set up. And then as soon as 1 o'clock, we had to be out by 1 o'clock. We had to have everything tore down. That was a sweaty day. I stunk so bad as I preached. I just tell you that. And so no wonder some people didn't come then. But anyways, but here they are in a place where God's presence led them in the day by fire, or led in the day by cloud and fire by night. And look at these verses here with me. I'm going to throw these up here. Verse 17, we're starting Numbers 3. These were the names of the sons of Levi. Want you to notice this, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. Now, all three of these have their own responsibility in portable church. Watch this. Verse 36, 37. The Merarites were appointed to take care of the frames of the tabernacle. It's crossbars, posts, bases, all its equipment, and everything related to their use, as well as the posts of the surrounding courtyard with their bases, tent pegs, and ropes. So the Merarites were your set-up, tear-down team, all right? And so in 2019 language of church planning. Okay, so how many know you need a set-up, tear-down team to make it happen? Eight of us know. But great. All right, 25. So for the rest of you, you need a set-up, tear-down team, okay? All right. Verse 25, it says, at the tent of meeting, notice the second team is the Gershonites, were responsible for the care of the tabernacle and tent. So there's their responsibilities. It's coverings, the curtain at the entrance of the tent meeting, all right? Then here's the third team, all right, the Kohath, verse 31, responsible for the care of the ark, all right, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the articles of the sanctuary used in ministering, the curtain, and everything related to their use. And so here's why this is a great lesson, because God wants order in our life and in his church. He is a God of order. And if we want momentum in our life, we have to be clear in the direction and have clarity for where we're going, all right? And so why is this message important, Pastor? Because, again, for those that call Elevate City home, you and I have to understand the why behind the what. We need to know what we do, but why we do it, All right? And in order to help people see them go forward in their relationship with God. So number one is this, is structural momentum, which we saw this in verses 36 and 37 with the set up, tear down team, okay? Structure cannot be built without a healthy foundation. And so for us, the foundation is and will always be Jesus. And as a church in our lives, we need structural momentum. I'm telling you, this will help us. Let me give you a few things of what represents structural momentum for us as a church. First of all, you have to have clear vision and values. We just talked about some of the vision earlier about knowing God, finding freedom, discovering purpose, make a difference. And then our values are really what makes up Elevate City. And so I think one of the coolest, greatest compliments that this church continues to get from guests who come in, to who email us or write it on their connection card, is the love that is felt when people walk through the doors of this church, the genuineness of hearts. And how many know you can't fake that? And you can smell fake a mile away. I'm so thankful. But here's why that is because people that are serving, by the way, we just saw this number this week, updated number, takes nearly 115 people every Sunday to pull off three services in this church. Think about that. It takes 115 people. I mean, I sat at my desk this week, and I mean, it made me pray all the more for our dream team, number one. But number two, it made me thankful for the selfless sacrifice of many people who serve every week in their gifts. And that's why I believe there's a genuineness in their love. It's when you walk through a door, it's not somebody greeting or on the parking lot that's serving in the area of a need. They're serving in the area of their gift. That's why we go through a process called growth track. So when you find out what your gifts are, you go serve in the area of that gift, not there's a need. How many know if somebody hates teaching children, we don't want that person teaching our children? Yeah. No, thank you, all right? And so we want you serving in the area of your gift. You'll be happy, we'll be happy, all right? And so clear vision and values. I believe we're a church that values, we're passionate for loving Jesus with everything within us, amen? We're a church that loves people well. We're a church that pursues excellence. Why is excellence important? Because excellence produces two things. It produces peace and it produces comfort for people. To know right now that your kids are in a safe, secure environment brings comfort to you, should bring peace to you as a parent. All right, everybody? How many thankful that the parking lot wasn't chaos, that we have a team out there to help assimilate that? Why? Because we just value excellence. We want to make sure that everything that could try to hinder you, we want to make sure all those things stay out of the way so that you can come in here and your kids can go back there and encounter the presence of God and be distraction-free. Are you with me? And then I believe another big part of who we are is just we choose joy. It's a big value for us here as a church, choosing joy. Here's the next one is scriptural church government. We have a good foundation that provides accountability for Bethany and I, our pastors, our leaders in our church, all of our leadership. Listen, if you want momentum, you need accountability. If you want momentum, you have to have accountability in your life. It's going to save you. I talked a little bit about this last week. Every single one of us in this room have blind spots, and we all have our issues. And if you are the only one who knows your issues and knows your deepest, darkest secret, Satan is setting you up for destruction. And that's why small groups are so important. It's not just, man, y'all, it's not just something we do. The reason why we don't have midweek services is because we believe in the power of small groups and what God is doing through relationships, and we need that. All right, and so I need that, you need that. And so I'm thankful for our leadership here that provides accountability with us and us for them, but then also our overseers as a church. We have five overseers as well. And you learn this through Growth Track as well. If you want to know what it looks like to be a member of Elevate City, that's what Growth Track's all about as well. And then the last one here is solid financial policies. So again, Pastor, why are you talking about these things on the Sunday? Because again, it's so important that we have clarity and understanding of vision and where we're going and how things operate. I don't talk a lot about these things through the year a lot, but we do talk about them again in our growth track setting. But from time to time, it's good that you know. It's good that you're reminded of these things. When we give our tithe and offering, it's seen as worship to God. We learned this in our Blessed Life series months ago that, you know, when our worship team comes back up here in a few minutes, in just a short time here, we'll sing one more song. And can I just say, that's not just a conclusion to a service. That's an opportunity to worship God with our giving. God sees it as an act of worship back to him. So when we tithe, what's tithe? Again, it's 10% of our income. Man, we give that back to him, our offering. We give it to him, and it's worship to him. And, you know, money can be a taboo subject for some. They don't want to talk about it, or churches don't want to talk about it. And I think whatever you can't talk about in public is already out of control in your life. Or out of in the context of even church. And so we're very comfortable talking about it because we have all of our checks and balances in place. In fact, tonight, we have once a year our business meeting. And so for those that receive statements, you saw it on the bottom of your statement this year of when our business meeting is, what time it is, and it's open to our church. Why? Because we operate with an open book policy. We allow people to know, hey, man, what's going on? Where's the money going in our church? Why? Because we want to keep the devil's mouth shut. And we believe in operating with integrity. And so we want people to see that. There's no secrets here. And so people have the opportunity in that setting tonight to ask me questions or anything pertaining to that. And by the way, can I just brag on Jesus and y'all for a second? Because we're celebrating this tonight. And so if you're coming tonight, you'll hear it again. But nonetheless, is, you know, our church last year, the generosity of this church just blew me away. And what we try to do and how we steward in this church. Because let me share one quick stat with you. Less than 4% of churches in America actually tithe. Now, let me put this in context. So we teach it. How many know if we teach it, if a church teaches it, we should be also modeling it? So as a church, I just want you to know, not only did we model it and do we model it? But last year, we gave way over 10% as a church. We gave nearly, again, 15% away. So that top 4%, we're in, everybody. And by the way, last year, 2018, because of your generosity, we were able to bless other organizations, and we shared that at our Legacy Sunday in December. But we gave away the most we ever have in the history of our church. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a reason to give God a hand. I love that we get to be a generous church. I love that we get to be a part of the solution. And that has everything to do with having these in place, the systems, these healthy things that are in place. It's so important. And I love what God is doing. I love that we can also do generous things. We're going to have some cool things coming up in March. You won't want to miss it as we celebrate 7 years and something else cool that's going to be happening at the end of the month. But then we do other cool things. You know, we rent ice cream trucks through the summer. I mean, that's like really fun. You guys like that stuff? I do. You know, we do stuff for our kids that sometimes you know or don't know about it. All right. And just to find ways to bless and just be generous. And why? Because we know it's better to give than it is to receive. Blessed are those who give. And here's the thing that I know. As we are faithful, listen to me, with the little, God will be faithful with much. And here's what God is seeing, I believe, with this church. He's seeing a church that not only can he get money to, but he's seeing a church he can get it through. God has no problem getting money to you and me. The question and the test is, can he get it through you? And the test for us is he's seeing that. So guess what happens last week? We get to announce that God has blessed us with 2 buses that pretty much we hardly even paid for, but maybe a slim margin of it, and speaks to a businessman that doesn't even attend this church to buy 2 buses for us so we can continue to reach our inner city and get them here until we get a second location. Oh, momentum is here. So our weekend services, man, is all about that. And we release people to do their dream. This past Sunday night, we had our leadership time Sunday night was all about empowering culture. Why? Because we're trying to do our responsibility to help people in our church see empowered and do what God has called them to do. So our weekend services is where it's the halftime cry of what we do. It's like the basketball game, the football game. How many know sometimes you struggle, sometimes you do well, but when you come in at the halftime, if you've ever been at a halftime with your coach, it's getting you ready for the second half. And so that's how we see Sundays, man, getting us ready for the rest of the week. Hebrews 10 says, so let's do it, full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promise that keep us going. He always keeps his word. How many know that? Let's see how inventive we can be, encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together. That's why the corporate gathering is so important, because it's going to produce momentum. These Sunday morning times, I promise you, as you declare that God is going to be the first of your week, Monday is not the first of your week, Sunday is. And as you do it, guess what? It's going to produce momentum in your life, all right? And spurring each other on, encouraging others to do what God has called them, and especially as we see the big day approaching, man, when Jesus comes back. I believe Sunday is one of the easiest opportunities, man, and to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sundays are exciting. They're fun. Nobody up in your face, up in your grill. You know what I'm talking about? It's just trying to stay out of the way. I think about this email that was written into the church in the last week. This was two Sundays ago. This happened. I wanted to read this to you guys because it really blessed me. This is about a woman in our church. She might be sitting in this service. I don't know. But this woman wrote in, doesn't go to our church. She said this: "Today, I went to Aldi's to buy some things for my daughter. The lady in front of me nicely placed a divider for me, and I thanked her. I'm standing there waiting my turn, enjoying the view outside, how nice it was, and noticed the cashier, in quotes, accidentally rang my things onto the lady's tab. I stated, 'Oh, no, I had my things divided.' And she said, 'No, ma'am, this lady is wanting to pay for your things.' And she said, 'I didn't know what to say.' She said, 'I was taken back by this kindness. And as I walked out, this woman said to me, 'Ma'am, I want to give you something.' She came up to me at my car and told me that there was no judgment towards me, but she felt she needed to do that for me. She too said she was having a few bad weeks, and she thought she'd share this with me. And then she hands me a card," she said. "And on this card, the front of it says, 'God loves you.' And on the back of it, it says, 'Elevate City Church in the service times.' And I told her that you have no idea how much God is speaking, just helping me right now, seeing the words, 'God loves me.' She said, 'You don't know this, but my family and I have been struggling for many months. But today was a day of hope. Today was a day of seeing God's love. So thank you for whoever you are. And thank you to Elevate City Church for being the church that you are. And to that woman who obviously must attend your church for blessing not just me today, but also my 2-year-old daughter." And I think about whoever that woman is, I don't know if she's in this service or not, but here's what she did. She's grabbed on to what God is saying, and she's calling, even in the midst of her struggles, as she alluded to this woman, she chose, "Man, I'm blessed to be a blessing." And I don't know about you, but how many know getting your groceries paid for is a blessing? Come on, somebody. And so I just think that's awesome, everybody, to see that lived out. Systematic, here we go, momentum. Small groups is a massive part of that. I've talked so much about that. We have a saying around here that we haven't said in a while, that church begins when service ends. Meaning this, that it just doesn't end here and, "Hey, I'll see you next Sunday." But man, we're a church that does life together, relationships, small groups. Man, let's grab a cup of coffee if we're struggling. Man, let's meet up. Let's connect. How can I serve? How can I help? Man, I can just listen if you need me to listen. How many know we need relationships like that in our life community? Acts 20:20 talks about, man, being taught publicly and then also taking it from house to house. It's biblical ministry that's happening. Then again, our growth track happens during our noon service, helping people experience life change and to help them discover all that God has for them. I like to say it this way. When you go through growth track, it's helping take people from being in the stands to getting in the game and doing their part and doing their gift. And then the last one is our dream team. Our dream team. Man, dream team, I love you guys so much. And I meant to say this in first service where most of them are all out because they're all serving second, third service. But many of you I know serve as well in the dream team in different capacities, and you guys have no idea what a difference you're making. You have no idea the lives that are being changed because of your faithfulness. And so I just love you guys, and I thank God for you. You're an amazing, amazing team, and we love you very, very much. But we look at the people that God brings us, and you know, Eric and Tamika Grimes direct our growth track. We had conversations about this, and our heart is to say, man, what's in your heart? We want to help take you through this process, but how can we help you be successful? We do something around here that, you know, may not be real popular in some places, but we give leadership away. We want to say more yeses than noes. In fact, I don't say no a lot because I just believe we need to try ideas and we need to try to take on people's ideas and see if we can make it work. And not everyone, we don't need tambourines up here, all right? So, all right, just kind of throw that one out there. But anyways, God bless the tambourines. They had it today, all right? And so, most ideas, all right? And so, amen. Somebody, amen, Pastor, amen, all right? So, anyways, I may have struck a chord with somebody, but hey, let's move on. But serving, making a difference. Let me say something. When you make the decision to live beyond yourself, man, it's one of the greatest places of fulfillment. Because let me tell you something. Comfort is overrated. Can you say that with me? Everybody say, comfort is overrated. Commitment is underrated. Yeah, commitment is underrated. Let me say it this way. The best things in life doesn't happen by staying comfortable. Oh, yeah, the best things in life come from being committed. Oh, I'm telling you right now, man, that's the difference for some of us. Because if we never get out of our comfort zones are where dreams go to die. And there's a lot of people in the world that will just want to stay comfortable with me, myself, and I, have great callings, great anointing, great dreams, but never try it. And I'm telling you, even if you fall on your face, at least you tried it. It's more than what some could say. And I don't ever want to be found when it's my last days as an old man thinking, man, I wish I would have. Well, I know one of the greatest men in my life that has made a huge impact on me, Pastor Tommy Barnett, said this. He's 83 years old, still travels the country preaching the gospel, has handed his church off to his son. Amazing, by the way. He said, they asked him one day, said, Pastor Tommy, what's one of your greatest regrets? He said, one of my greatest regrets is I didn't dream enough and I didn't risk more. The man built, God used him to build a 20,000-member church, the Dream Center. He helped birth that. I'm thinking, Lord, I got a ways to go. But it challenged me because God wants us to believe big, and he wants us to take steps. For some of us, it's time to get out of the boat. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Number three, spiritual momentum. This is the last one. I got to wrap up. Verse 31 talked about the Kohath, the articles of worship. Listen, you can do everything right. You can have great systems, and we need those. But without the presence of God, we're nothing. We are idiots without him. I mean, just flat out, we are idiots without him. We need the presence of God. We need his relationship. We need godly wisdom in our life. That's why we pray so much in this church. Somebody asked me why. I said, boy, we do a lot of prayer events, and we're never going to stop. Because if we don't have prayer in this church, we are of no effect. We might as well shut it down, and I'll go grab my business degree and be a good Sunday Christian somewhere else. No, this is a praying church. This is a church that was built on prayer and fasting. And I'm telling you, that's why the culture of prayer is always something that is of much importance. That's why myself and our team are here at 8 a.m. every Sunday praying for you, praying for your family, praying for our city, praying for services, praying for all the connection cards and the needs that are written. Why? Because we believe that our God is a God who answers prayer. Not sometimes, all the time. He is faithful to his word. And God is saying, I want my church and my people to come and get even closer with me, and we only do that through prayer, through the power of prayer. That's why we have 21 days of prayer and fasting in January and prayer rallies. It was awesome. That's why in August we have 21 days just of prayer, and we have prayer rallies, and it's again why we pray every week, because we're nothing without God in his presence. We got to stay focused on his word, spiritual momentum. 2 Timothy, all scriptures inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true, to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us. There's times that you and I need corrected when we're wrong, and teaches us to do also what's right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. We got to get his word alive in our hearts. That's why one of the greatest things I hope to help teach you is to be a self-feeder and to not just go after God on a Sunday, but live for God through the week. Pursuing him, get a hold of his word, get a hold of prayer. We got to focus on worship. I'm telling you, worship has the ability to change the climate in your life. For some, the winds are blowing, the storm is rough, but have you worshiped? I find worship is one of the biggest things I see in my darkest times, my toughest times. Bethany will tell you, I'll get alone with God, and I'll just worship. And sometimes I'll just turn the worship on, and I'll sit and just know he's here. His presence is alive. God loves it when we worship. He becomes bigger and our problems become a lot smaller. That's why I love corporate worship. It's one of my favorite times of the week, is just to worship with you. I love to hear you. Man, you guys are singing great this morning. I love it. I'm telling you, I've told you weeks ago, this worship team, they love it when you worship too, because they just ain't up here performing. And they have a gift and a responsibility, but they're leading us into the presence. God made you and I to be with him, to worship and express our love. Psalm 103, I love it. Praise the Lord. Everybody shout, praise the Lord. My soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. You got a reason to praise him, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can somebody take about 5 seconds and praise the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's the final thing, is focus on prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5 of the King James, it says, prayer without ceasing. That scares people. New Living says, hey, just never stop praying. That's what God's saying. Have a lifestyle of it. Talk to him through the day. Prayer must be our first choice, not our last resort. Many times we just run to God with 911 prayers. Can I just tell you, man, that's not a relationship. That's dysfunction. A relationship is when it's good and it's bad, I'm pursuing him, not sometimes or when I'm at my worst, but man, when it's sunny out or when it's raining out, I'm going to praise the Lord. That verse reminds me why I need to praise him, because of all that he's done for me. Come on, church, are you with me today? 1 John 5, I'll end with this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, I'm telling you, he's hearing us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Would you bow your head today? More than anything in the world, all God wants is a thriving relationship with him. And just right there where you're at, would you just open up your hands just right up there on your lap, and just a sign of just surrender to God. Yeah, that's it. Just right there on your lap. That's it. Some of us today are in need, listen to me, of the help of God. Some of us today are finding ourselves in our lives without any vision. It's like, Pastor, I'm just kind of going from day to day. I'm just trying to get through this. And I'm just telling you, by the help of the Holy Spirit today, that he wants to touch your heart, and he wants to move upon you in whatever situation it is, if you'll let him today. But here's what you and I have to do. We have to let go of control. For some of us, we're making it worse because our hands are continually getting upon something that it shouldn't be, and something that we were never meant to carry. And so today, with God, our hands open to you as an act of surrender right where we're at, we invite you into our life, into our situation. For some of us, our marriage needs touch today. For some of us, our kids. For some of us, it's our just relationship with God. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's happening, but he does. He cares for you, and he loves you today. So God, we surrender here in this moment together as your people. I just encourage you right there where you're at, however you're comfortable, just tell God whatever it is. God, I need this surrender to you. I don't know what your need is. Communicate the need. Let him know. He wants to hear from your heart. So God, right here in this service, we just commit our life. We commit, God, this journey. We commit our hearts and our lives completely, totally over to you, and we need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. Awaken us. Awaken us to realize that it's okay to ask for help. Awaken us to realize that it's okay if we made a mistake, but let's not stay there. Holy Spirit, we thank you for your ministry today that breathes life into us, that breathes encouragement into us, and builds our faith again. God is in this place, church. I'm telling you right now, he's in this place. We're just taking a moment, taking time right here to let the Holy Spirit minister. God, minister, 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 minister. Talk to us, talk to us, talk to us. I'm tired of doing this alone. I'm tired of doing this. I'm not going to carry this. I'm not going to go with the crowd. I'm not going to go with what everybody else is saying. I'm going to go where the Holy Spirit is leading me. I'm going to follow your direction for my life, in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to give you an opportunity before we leave. If you've not surrendered your life fully to him, this is your moment. And on the count of three, unashamed, I want you to just put your hands straight up in the air. If you say, man, Pastor, that's me. I want to know him. I want a relationship with him. I want you to forget who's next to you. I want you to focus on Jesus. He loves you so much. For some of us, you're going to recommit your life today. For some, you're going to commit maybe for the first time. It's awesome. So on the count of three, if that's you, unashamed, just lift your hand where you're at. One, two, three. Real high. Say, man, that's me. That's me. Yeah, hands going up. Hands going up. Yep, yep, yep. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Proud of you. Yeah, proud of you. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Awesome. Proud of you guys. I just want to lead you in this prayer. I just want you to pray this after me. And just say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart today to be my Lord and Savior. I repent of my sins. I'm sorry for going my own way. But today I'm going after you. Thank you for loving me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.